Friends. Thanks, Tars.
Cheers.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, Jesus constantly taught in parables, stories that took simple everyday things and used them to illustrate his point. So for me this morning, there's not a whole lot to do because he actually explains this one. Now, the one we heard about the sower, it's probably very familiar to a lot of you because we also hear it in Mark and Luke and in the Hebrew scriptures where God is depicted as the sower in both Jeremiah and Hosea. I know you all knew that. Okay. What strikes me about this passage is the fact that the sower is tossing seed everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. It's a generous scattering of seed on the good soil, on the path. It's in the rocks and in the weeds because the generosity of God knows no bounds. God's word is scattered even in the places where it might struggle to take root, the point being that there is always a chance. Now, many of you know I love gardening. That was part of the reason I was slightly behind this morning. And I recently learned about a way of gardening which preserves moisture in the soil, and it's called hugo culture. I know, try saying that five times fast. It's an old German way of building good soil in mounds that are planted all along the top and down the sides. And it begins with logs and branches, and then other garden debris is placed at the bottom, and then you add layers of earth and grass clippings, followed by compost. I've noted that a couple of more modern gardeners on YouTube are calling it lasagna gardening, which just makes me hungry. So over time, the idea behind the hugo culture bed is that everything that is inside it begins to break down and build good soil. So it's basically a natural composting bed, which is kind of cool, really. It feeds the plants and produces good fruit and vegetables over time while also maintaining the moisture. Now, when we hear Jesus' explanation of the parable, we understand that we are to strive to be the good soil, the hearers of God's word who then produce ideally a hundredfold in fruit. Jesus thinks of his own teaching, I think, in this way, as sowing seeds in the listeners' minds, which is perhaps why all three of the synoptic gospel writers included this, because it is the point at which it gets planted in our minds. He points out the choices that we have in responding to this teaching. We can hear it and promptly forget it, like me with names or dates. We can have wonderful intentions to respond to it, but then life just sidetracks those intentions. We can respond until it begins to cost us something to do so. And at that point, we generally just give up. So finally, Jesus says, there will always be those who listen, who hear, and who act out in a faithful response. So the moral of the story then is that we're supposed to try and be those who are good soil, who hear the word of God and respond in a way that produces good fruit, which is basically just to spread God's word and bring the kingdom of heaven about. Now, many people struggle with taking their Sunday faith into the rest of the week, and that's not an uncommon phenomenon. We can come to church and we think about these ideas and talk about them, and we think, yeah, that's how we want to live. But when it comes to put it into practice day to day, we may find ourselves identifying with the seed on the rocky ground or covered in weeds, getting choked by all of our responsibilities. Now, sometimes this happens because we just don't prioritize the Jesus way in the rest of our lives, whether it interferes with our schedules or finances. We can easily find reasons to do less with Jesus. However, the hugo culture garden teaches us that being good soil and choosing to prioritize following Jesus in our daily lives is a process. When we feel choked by weeds or hampered by rocks, we have to cultivate our soil with layers of prayer, study of scripture, worship, giving, and service. And we allow ourselves to be like the Hugo culture bed, broken down over time. We allow the Spirit to make us more receptive to the word and whispers of God. We allow ourselves to be composted, to be shaped into the good soil that receives seeds and is able to nourish them and see them grow. And only then does the garden burst to life. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have a choice to make about how we live our lives. And Paul expresses these choices in what he calls the flesh, living in the flesh, or living in Christ. Now, for us, this means centering our lives around ourselves, our own wishes, our own priorities, or choosing the life of the Spirit with Jesus at our center. And that's what we do when we take our baptismal vows. We promise to live the Jesus way and spend our lives attempting, striving to keep these promises. Now, the psalmist writes of the struggle of walking on the path that God shows us while the temptations of the world around us press in, sending us off track occasionally. Occasionally, you get weeds in your garden. For us, as followers of Christ, the way is not always clear, but it is always there. Jesus for us then is the true north that we got to just set our compasses to every morning in order to follow his path and build rich soil that produces good fruit. And this is how we demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what we've been doing in planning, ironically, the gardens around the church, the free sale, and the other ministries that we're looking into. And ultimately, this expands into our whole lives. Each day when we set our compass on Jesus, perhaps through morning prayer, and choose to walk that path and cultivate our faith like building good soil through prayer, through sacrament, coming together to celebrate the Eucharist like here this morning, through giving of what we've personally been gifted, and in service. So may God guide us in these endeavors and cause us to bring forth good fruit, fruit that lasts. Amen.